Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. All right, here we are back again.
Hello, everyone. This is Scott.
Hey, this is Josh, and we had a great day on Sunday. You'll probably get this on Tuesday, but we're recording this on Monday. So yeah. It was a great day yesterday.
Yes, it was a beautiful day at church with our people again. We say that every week, but it's because it's true.
That's right.
It's good to come to church, good to be with our people.
That's right. And we were continuing on in Acts.
Yeah.
So we just had one week on Acts 3, and now we're on Acts 4. We didn't finish Acts 4.
Almost, though.
Yeah.
Big chunks.
Yeah.
That just shows that we do have variety around here.
That's right.
The variety of Grace Community Church is, whether it's three verses or whether it's a whole chapter.
That's right. He says right before we enter a six-week series on the last 12 verses of chapter 4 or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, big chunks. Well, that's because big chunks because... These are big narratives. These are stories. These are accounts of things that happened. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a big one on Sunday.
Yeah,
a pretty intense one. There's more of that to come in Acts, by the way. More of the tension moments that we entered into when we got into chapter 4.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, how about a overview of the sermon on Sunday?
Well, now a week ago we were in chapter 3, which was the healing of a man. At the temple gate, he was lame and had been so from birth and was healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that created the stir, and Peter turned that into the opportunity to preach about Christ and call people to repentance. Mm-hmm. Then that ended three, that was two Sundays ago, and then yesterday, we picked up in chapter 4 when that miracle and that preaching annoyed the religious leaders.
Right.
And so now Peter and John, the two lead apostles at this point, are giving an account of what they did, in what name they did it, by what authority and power that they did that, healed and preached. And the religious leaders decide that they need to shut it down. Okay. And so they command them. There's more to the story. People need to read Acts 4. But basically, they command them, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus.
Right.
To which they said, well, we can't stop speaking and mm-hmm. preaching. They said more, but that's the gist.
Yeah.
And so they threatened them. And then when they returned to their friends, there's a very instructive, very encouraging prayer that Peter, John, and the friends, we're assuming this is the apostles and maybe some others who have mm-hmm. come to faith in Christ, and that they pray a great prayer and acknowledge God's sovereignty and entrust the threats to him and then say, give us greater boldness. Give us boldness to keep going.
Yeah.
So that's the overview of what happened. And there's, people were probably, I think you're going to ask me a question. People were probably thinking, oh, okay, how does that apply in our modern day?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the big two themes that you had in there were opposition and faithfulness, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I think that as you read that, while we don't live in exactly the same kind of context that we have more religious freedom in America and things like that, but you do see this element of opposition mm-hmm. to the gospel, to what we would see as faithfulness to Christ, mm-hmm. and then the call mm-hmm. for us to be faithful to Christ in the midst of it. And I think for a lot of people, they want to know, like, what does faithfulness look like?
Yeah,
I think everybody would have different things they might recognize as opposition.
Yeah,
right. And everybody is wanting to know and thinking about. And some of our people in our congregation probably frequently wondering, mm-hmm. what does faithfulness look like mm-hmm. in my context?
Yeah.
And so, what parallels would you draw between the opposition faithfulness in this passage and today?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a key word that you used is context, like what's happening in my situation, mm-hmm. That principles from what we learn in Acts from the apostles where those principles would help us.
Yeah.
Because the contexts are very different. So let's go back to Acts 4. There was a direct command to do something or to stop doing something that the apostles were actually explicitly told to do right. by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He said, witness, talk,
yeah,
speak, use words mm-hmm. about me. They said, stop it. Okay, so that is really direct. Mm-hmm. And so to that, you know, the religious leaders said to them, stop it, and they said, we can't. Well, that means not only that they can't because they're so full of the joy of the Lord, it's just going to come out, but they can't because they would violate the command of Jesus.
Right.
So there's a very clear, that one's clear. So if whatever context we're in, you know, whether it be a religious context or a social context or, an educational context or the government or whatever it is, when it's that clear, you cannot do what Jesus told you explicitly to do. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. We're going to have to say no.
Yeah.
We're going to do what he told us to do. Now, are there roads to appeal? Are there ways to say, hold up? You've said no, but do you realize you've just violated something? Again, in our context, we can say that might be a violation of my First Amendment rights. I'm going to deal with that. Yeah. So there's you're not doing what an authority says. At the same time, you're appealing to a higher authority, mm-hmm. earthly authority, to say, right. wait a minute, I have a right. So you see, you just got to look at your context.
Yeah.
But the basic principle is that we're going to obey God rather than man.
Yeah.
And then again, applying that to every context is very, very important. And thinking it through is important.
Okay. I'm trying to imagine like a, you know, modern equivalent or something mm-hmm. or tease out some of this. They're asking Peter and John and the other disciples not to speak about Jesus at all. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a parallel between that and like being in a workplace where religious discussion is kind of forbidden in some way? Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing? And we would be violating something by following that rule?
Yeah.
Or is that a different thing than what we're talking about in Acts, you think?
Well, now see, I don't, would be difficult for me to answer. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert on employment law. Mm-hmm. Workplace policies, that would certainly not be my realm. I could imagine, again, don't please, whoever's listening to this, don't, I'm not speaking as an expert here, okay?
Right.
I could imagine there would be times when for a Christian to be speaking about the gospel and the faith would not be the thing to do in a particular workplace environment because it might be interfering with the actual work that people have contracted to be done. Mm-hmm. And so Christians just should be sensitive to that. That's not a violation of their speech. That's a what's appropriate at this moment in this workplace environment when we are all contracted here, meaning we're getting paid to do something. Mm-hmm. And what we're not getting paid to do is have a Bible study or do evangelism. We're getting paid to produce or we're getting paid to solve a problem. So Christians just need to think that through. Every time somebody says this is not the time or place, doesn't mean their rights are being violated. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're being told that they can't speak of Christ. It just means when's the time and place, what's appropriate.
Sure.
People got to think that through.
Yeah.
But if there was ever a place where someone is working and they were told we don't hire Christians. And it's the kind of place that doesn't have the authority to impose some kind of philosophical or religious test on people. Mm-hmm. Then that'd be the time to say, well, no, now you're violating my conscience.
Yeah,
I am a Christian, and I'm going to proclaim that.
Yeah,
I'm going to declare that. Mm-hmm. But again, it's context, and this is where I'm a little out of my league. I'm not an expert on this, but if we flip it around, and what I mean, here's an example. If you flip it around, I mean, at Grace Community Church, of course, we have a theological standard,
right,
that people must adhere to work here, mm-hmm. and that's our right to do that. So, but like the government couldn't do that.
Right.
But we can. So you just have to think through your context.
Yeah.
In order to say, is what's happening here really violating not only my conscience, but my rights?
Yeah.
But really, that's not what we're talking about here in Acts. We're talking about these men were told to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was a pure violation of their command that they had received from Jesus, that their conscience was bound to, because out of love and out of loyalty, mm-hmm. to adhere to, and they were being told to violate it, and they wouldn't.
Yeah. You know, my mind kind of lives in teenage land, you mm-hmm. know, because of doing youth ministry. And I feel like a more frequent place of application in the life of maybe a student would be, there might not be a council of people mm-hmm. who are demanding that you not speak about Jesus, mm-hmm. but there is a cultural pressure felt, mm-hmm. Or maybe a social cost to be paid mm-hmm. For talking about Jesus, mm-hmm. and that there might at least be a felt situation that says, don't you talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Even if there's no law associated with it, they're not mm-hmm. going to get beaten. Mm-hmm. There might be a ridicule. There might be mm-hmm. a shame. There might be disassociation yeah. in some way. And I would say, even though it's not exactly the same, the call there is there's a felt opposition, a perceived mm-hmm. opposition, maybe a real opposition, mm-hmm. And then a call to be faithful that says, my conscience says that in the times when appropriate and possible, I'm going to mm-hmm. talk about Jesus, yes. and I'm going to be ready to pay that cost. Right. I think that Peter and John were ready to be beaten.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And would be.
And were later.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so I think that knowing the cost, whether it's like a legal kind of situation, like what we've kind of talked about a little bit now, mm-hmm. or like socially becoming unacceptable in some way,
yeah.
the call is the same.
Yes, and that really probably for us is the application. It may get worse. I mean, it mm-hmm. could be that there's actually a stop talking from a
right.
from a legal point of view. But I think the social pressure is there, and Christians just need to ask, where's my loyalty? Mm-hmm. And why is my loyalty there?
Yep.
So I would never want to communicate that I experienced any severe kind of suffering. You know, as I said about the apostles and the disciples in Acts 2, the worst they got in Acts 2 was somebody said they were drunk for speaking
right.
in these other languages. And I remember as a new Christian, the pressure, whether it may have been self-imposed, it may have been in my head, but it felt like it was coming from my friends.
Yeah.
And we, you know, and we learned early on, you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to go back to a public high school. And you're going to have to stand. And that was helpful to me at a young age to know that there's always going to be some pressure and some opposition that we're going to feel. And that's the question. Who are we going to listen to? As they said, you know, if it's right for us to listen to God or instead of you or you instead of God, you're going to have to judge that. But we can't stop speaking what we've seen and heard.
That's right.
Everybody has to come to that. Should come to that place in life where they say, no, I will be loyal to Christ. And if that, at the end of the day, if that costs me, it costs me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. a hard place, but it's an important place.
Yeah.
And that's what the apostles are doing. Mm-hmm. And it's what the disciples are doing. And it's what Stephen will do.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to see it.
And are praying for, you know, they're like praying for boldness. Mm-hmm. I think that's another piece in there that I thought was great that we had at the end is like, I think we might not all be living in this moment from day to day, mm-hmm. but I think praying and asking that God would make us bold in the moment mm-hmm. that it's required of us.
Yeah.
I think is a good way to go too.
And we can touch on that for a minute too, what was it that allowed these people, that led these people to pray the way they prayed at the end? So if you go toward the end of the passage we dealt with in mm-hmm. Acts 4, when Peter and John go back and report to their friends, they pray, but they mm-hmm. start with the acknowledgement that God is sovereign.
Yep.
God is sovereign over everything on heaven and in heaven and on earth. And God is actually sovereign in the prophetic word from Psalm 2 about the rulers gathering against the Lord's anointed. Mm-hmm. And the Lord kept his anointed. The Lord kept his son.
Yeah.
The Lord glorified his son. The Lord has his apostles. The Lord has his disciples, his church. He will keep his church. And so it's the acknowledgement of God's sovereignty over all things that allows us to say, okay, we will entrust to the Lord whatever opposition comes our way. Lord, take note of their threats, mm-hmm. and give us boldness to keep going. That it's his sovereignty that drives all of that.
Yeah.
And I hope people will, as they reflect back on the passage from Sunday, will learn a lot about prayer, and learn how to press prayer into whatever the pressures they're feeling.
Yeah.
The sovereignty of God in prayer and letting that drive our praying is very helpful in this passage.
Hmm. Okay. And then next week, taking a turn off talking about the church community again?
Yeah, we move in to the church community and a couple of examples. The examples are of generosity and giving, but they're also of honesty. Mm-hmm. And integrity, and not lying against the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
As we move into to Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira in the rest of 4 and early 5, chapter 5.
Yeah.
And so to get people ready, what would be the connection between that and what we did Sunday, what we looked at Sunday? It would be that there are attacks on the church from both without and within. Hmm. So we ended chapter 2 and on into 3 on a pretty high note, hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Chapter 4, the external opposition comes from the religious leaders. Chapter 5, the internal opposition comes from people within the community of believers.
Yeah.
Not walking in integrity. And I think that we can see behind both of them the strategy of the enemy, Satan,
yeah,
to attack his church. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting ahead of myself here, but as people might be thinking about Acts 5 and the connection, we need to be aware that whenever the gospel advances, whenever light hits darkness, comes into darkness, we live in a world where Satan's head has not yet been crushed. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
And we need to be aware of it, and we need to be aware of it so it doesn't come, so that we can watch that we're not the ones causing the fight, that we're not the ones bringing the attack into the church, mm-hmm. and to the gospel, not being used as a tool. So okay. There you go.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it.
Okay.